You know, sometimes when God wakes you up 3 in the morning and just gives you some revelation, you're just like, ooh. Ooh. So I said, okay, we're switching up here. Okay. So the title of the message today is The Arm of the Lord. The arm. The arm of the Lord. I had seen that in the Bible, and I've read it. And if any of you read the books, you know, some of the Proverbs, some of the definitely covered, the book of Isaiah covers it very intensely. And I begin this message by one thing. So I wound up again this week. You know, Mocha has some symptoms on him and looked like we all caught it, Markel, my wife, myself. And again, I'm not a person who comes down with stuff. So I wound up with a 100-degree-plus temperature again. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. You know, this is, you know, and it's good when you get to a place where that just don't,
that's right.
Like that, this is not right. It's not normal. Like, what is this about? So I begin to ask questions, which I'm sure you would do too if something's happening in your life that just don't seem right to you. And, you know, I start quoting my scriptures. And let me just make sure I'm not the only one. Have you ever been in a place where you're going through something and you're quoting the scriptures, but you're almost quoting them like, eh. Like, I quoted this one so much that I almost feel like I wore it out. I don't even think God is listening to this one right now. I'm saying it, but I don't know. I need to look through the Bible and find a couple of new healing scriptures. I think this one, I done wore this one out. No, show me your hands if you ever kind of felt like, yeah, right? Come on. You know, and so I'm going, I don't know, God. You probably tired of the wounded for my transgressions scripture. So I start trying to pull up some other ones in my mind. But I kept getting led back to this one. So because I kept getting led back to this one, I decided to go research it, which is what I do, to find out what this thing really is about and where it really comes from. What was said before it, what was said after it, what was going on around it that made that line wind up in the Word of God. Because I needed to have more meaning to me than there's no place like home. You know, the Dorothy quote, right? I needed more. I needed it to once again have a spiritual connection to me, not now I lay me down to sleep, I play the Lord my soul. Mm-hmm. It needed to mean something to me again. So before I go to the Word, I will say this. If you want the Word to mean something to you again, read it. Stop just quoting it. Open up the book and just read it. I don't know why it does that, but it just does. So I said, let me read something that I've quoted so thoroughly that I don't need to open the book. Let me read it. So something hit me very interesting. And I want you to go with me to Isaiah 51. And we're talking about the arm of the Lord. Now, that struck me and blessed me because immediately I associated with something as you guys turn to it or click on it. I know we're the body of Christ. I've heard preachers say, well, some of us are foot, some of us are legs, some of us may be his backside. I don't totally ascribe to that after this morning. I think God has made the body a specific function. I don't think God created any of us to be his behind. Amen. Amen. I think the body of Christ has a place in the triune God, just like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I feel that the body of Christ has a function. And our function is, ready? to reach the world or to reach the lost. Well, you don't reach anybody with your behind. You reach with your arm. You reach with your hands. You touch people with your fingers. You understand? And I begin to understand something. So God, I'm in the body, but I'm there with a specific function. And that function is to be your outreach. Come on now. So that gave me a much better feeling about who I am in the body of Christ. I have a specific function. Somebody shout that.
I have a specific function.
To reach for God. Oh, man. Amen. Thank you very much. Drop the mic. Message is over. So based on that alone, I begin to study. And as I begin to study this book, and we're going to go right into the word after this, I begin to realize that all the stuff that I've been preaching for the past few months kept popping up in these chapters. So I said, wow, this is a powerful season for me because I'm on a search. I'm coming to terms with things. I've dealt with and dealing with appreciation. I'm dealing with hypersensitivity. I'm dealing with, we did the whole thing about being sober, but I have to deal with people all the time about stop letting your emotions get ahead of God's leading and instruction. Now, I say this now, right? I get to pick on Ron a little bit. So I said, I want to go over, it's on my heart, I want to go over to BCCPF for a message. Sit down, just feel like I want to sit. Oh, when we going? I'm like, when do we become French here? I said, me. Well, we all can go, the whole church can go. I'm like, yeah, no, I... No, me. Well, I want to go. Me. Like, how'd you put yourself all in my stuff? Like, can you? Hello? That wasn't an invitation. I was sharing a revelation. How'd you write yourself into God's vision on me just that quick? But that was an emotional response. Ooh, that sounds good. Let's do it. You know, and my thing is, yeah, we can all be guilty of that. God said, I want you. Oh, then I could take Lot. God said, I didn't tell you to take Lot. I told you to go to the land. And he took Lot, and it caused all these problems and issues and dead wives and all kind of stuff came out of that. Leave Lot home. If you left Lot home, he'd still have his wife. He didn't have to have the angels at the door and the demons trying to seduce him. He didn't have to have any of that. He could have stayed his behind home. That's what the message has been, right? Every time we try to write our thing into it, then we create these issues that now have to be corrected. But I was sensitive. I understood her heart, but that wasn't important. It's nice that you were excited, but so what? That wasn't the instruction of God. The instruction of God was for me to do this. Pay attention to that. That may sound small, but that's big. It's huge. Because we spend a lot of our time and a lot of our lives being bound or beset by issues that go beyond the instruction of God, but are motivated by God and taken over by our emotions. Taken over by what feels right. I've had people come to me with relationships. My baby girl, for one, say, you know, I knew that if this ever became a physical relationship, it was going to go wrong. I knew it in my spirit, and I don't know why I did it. And I've heard that so many times from people, and I go, but then you still did it. Because it's like, God, I know you're right. But in this situation, I'm sure you can understand. So sometimes those little decisions, if I had said, oh, yeah, let's do that, with no evil action actually being committed, I'm out of the will of God. I've gotten off into something that it sounded good, but it wasn't his leading. Say, I will be mindful of my excitement. It's huge. I got messed up a lot in life being excited by things. Me only? Okay, so we're going to be careful. Let's do this. Verse 1, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. How many take us here? How many of you pursue righteousness and seek the Lord? Let me see you. Let me see you. If you pursue righteousness and seek the Lord, because if you don't, then this ain't about you. You can leave. Okay, good. All right, I'm just kidding. Don't leave. Okay, so for you who pursue righteousness and seek the Lord, first of all, let's cover righteousness. We all know, just shortly, is right standing. Those of you who pursue to be in right standing with God. Amen? Amen. So that's all of us? Yes. All right. Now, so we may not always do it, but we do pursue it. Yes? Okay, good. Let's make sure we got that right. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. I'm going to explain that. I'm going to come back to it. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man. And I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on their ruins, on her ruins. He will make her like the deserts of Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Now, I'm go back to that first bottom of the first verse, and then we're going to keep moving. He said, look to the rock from which you are cut and to the quarry in which you were hewn. Quarry is still, you know, rock. After they make that, when they take those mountains and they designate it to be a work site or whatever, it becomes a quarry. They begin to break down the stones and they sell them or ship them or whatever they do. And I became familiar with that after I moved to Poconos because there was just this big area that had machines and it was nothing but rocks. And I'm like, they make money with this? Yeah, they just chipping the rocks a little bit at a time. They selling stone to everybody who needs to put in foundation before they put in the driveway or before they put in the house or a foundation. And they've been in that one corner for the whole 15 years I've been there with them same little trucks just selling rocks and stones. I'm like, this is a good living. They've been supporting this business for 15 years, just selling stones of different sizes. Not even different color ones, just the regular little rock, black, brown, whatever, gray, whatever color it is. Small ones, and what they call them, 2B and 2A, and you got the big ones, the little one. Then you got the filtered ones that let the water flow through. Then you got the ones with a little sand in them, that kind of. Listen, there's different kinds of stones. All rocks are not the same. Same rock can have different uses. You got the rocks that you grind them up to a smaller size and you leach powder them and you mix that in your concrete. It makes your concrete more solid. All this stuff has different stuff. So much for the lesson on stone. My point is this. It says to you to look to the rock that you were cut from. Now, and this is a powerful thing because the thing I've been talking about for the past months is who the heck are we really? Wake up, sleeping giant, right? He's saying, do you know what kitchen you come out of? He's not just saying, look to your maker. I don't want you to mix this up. I don't want you to belittle it like that. Yes, you look to the Lord from where comes your strength. But he's not talking about that now. He's talking about the fiber of who you are. He says, do you know what stone you cut from? Do you know that you are cut from the very mountain of God himself? Do you realize that God is the mountain that you are cut from? Now you're getting it? He's saying, no, don't look at the rock and say, oh, God made the rock. God is the rock. Jesus is the rock. You are cut from that quarry. So what must be in you is what's in God. That same design, that same pattern, that same counter, whatever comes from that stone, oh my God, you are filled with that substance. I'm not a toy made by God. I'm cut from God. Like Eve was taken from the rib of Adam, I'm taken from the quarry of God. Everything that he is comprised of, you're not ready for me. You're not ready for me today. Listen, I tell you, we're going straight in. CCW already? All right, now. We're cut from the very makings of God. Cut from it. Cut from it. Look to the rock from which you are cut. Know what your source is. Pay attention to the substance that you are made out of. See, only God can make you see a sentence and see all that. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. Now, he's talking to you from this point on, and I don't want you to lose this through the rest of the message, that he's speaking to the remnant of himself now. He told you where you came from, and now he's not giving you instruction as some students that are learning a lesson in the class from a teacher who's much smarter than them. He's saying, "You, I've already revealed to you that you're cut from the same fabric that I'm made of. Now when I'm speaking to you, I'm imparting back to you who you are and forgot." Lord kept me up last night with this. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. You hear that now? Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Talking to myself. Listen to me, my people. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nation. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. My arm will bring justice to the nation. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And its inhabitants die like fires. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Skip down to verse 9. Awake, awake, arm of the Lord. Clothe yourself with strength. Awake as in the days gone by, as in generations of old. Was it not you who cut Rahab to pieces, who pierced the monsters through? Was it not you who dried up the sea and the water of the deep, who made the roads in the depths of the sea so that the redeemed might cross over? Stop, 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 stop. Who's talking here? Who's he talking to? So he said, awake, arm of the Lord. This ain't somebody talking to God. All these years I read this, I thought this was Isaiah's prayer to God. This is God speaking to us. He said, the world is waiting for the arm of the Lord. Wake up, arm of the Lord. Wake up. Then he goes on and says this, which really blew me away. Wasn't it you that cut Rahab to pieces? Didn't you speak to the waters and they parted? So that that Israel can cross over on dry land. He's talking about the works what Moses did. And he's saying, no, you did that, arm of the Lord. God, this is God encouraging me. He's saying, how are you all caught up in all this petty stuff that pulls you down in life? And the world is waiting for you. to give them my hug, to redeem them, to bring the righteousness to pass. Didn't I use you to part the Red Sea? No, God parted. No, he did not part it to. He told Moses to put that stick in it. And he didn't part it till they got there and Moses put the stick in it. He said, no, I told you to do it. Let me make it more current. Maybe the Red Sea stuff is too deep. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. So let me make it a little more current, maybe more New Testament-y. Didn't he say, these are the signs that shall follow those who believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and I will heal them? That's not what he said. And they shall recover. He said, you shall heal the sick. He didn't say, I will heal them. He said, you would. God, heal my family. He said, you know why I didn't answer that prayer? Because that wasn't the instruction. That's why they still died. You praying for me to heal them, and I gave that power to you, arm of the Lord. Why is the light going out in the church in these senses? Because we've lost the instruction. We got off into doing church things and praying church prayers. And hear what I'm about to say. Look right at my face. Look right at my face. There's still power in the words, but there's no authority in the speaker. It's power in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we got that. So people saying, break every chain, there's power in the name of Jesus. Okay, the devil and everybody knows that. But who uses it? Jesus ain't walking around breaking chains. I haven't seen him doing that. If I remember correctly, quote this with me if I'm right. After everything was done, Jesus said three words. It finished. So he's done. And then the scripture said, and he went and sat at the right hand of the Father. And he said, I give you the Holy Spirit so that you can go and do the works that I do. And the works that I do, you should do. Come on, y'all. And greater works shall you do because I've gone to the Father. So all this Jesus come now, we come even now, Lord Jesus. Just like, I'm in retirement. I left enough power in my name and my word and the authority I gave you, arm of the Lord. How ready are you for this word? So I felt kind of like a punk as I was reading this, because I think I walk in some kind of authority, but you know, I started looking at this and going, wow. You talking to me like you talking to you. He said, I am. Didn't I say the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken or awaken your mortal body? Well, if your mortal body is awakened by the same spirit that woke Jesus, then you're no longer a three-dimensional short lifespan subject. You've been changed. In other words, Jesus took the punishment and got scourged. How many of you saw the Passion of the Christ? He went through all of that as a human male. And then they put him to death. In their minds, a human male, but they couldn't put him to death because eternal life was already in him. So he gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. Come on, you got to hear me now. He gave up the ghost. So that body could die. Huh. Then he came back into that body after he was after his spirit had paid the price for our sins. He came back and took the body home. Come on now. First body, earthly body to go to heaven. People think that's, no, people died before Jesus. They did not. They did them to the bosom of Abraham. They did not go to heaven. All right? That's a whole different message. We won't go there. But we'll do that another time if we need to. So everybody else went to the bosom of Abraham, or what they call paradise. Jesus was the first flesh body now to go to the Father. I paid the price for them. Now, I'm going to send them my spirit, that same spirit that came down into hell and brought that body back to life. Stay with me here. This is simple, but oh my God, this is so deep. So that means his substance changed, where he can now walk through a wall, but then still say, give me some food and let me eat it. It's a ghost. I'm not a ghost. Put your hand in my, thrust it in my side. I'm flesh and bone, just like you. Here I am. Yet I can do these things. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jesus said, the works that I do. Wait a minute. I never walked through no wall to nowhere. I'm reaching for it. Jesus said, the work that I do, you should do. He did that. He did do that. And he said, that same spirit that rose him from the dead, arm of the Lord. Well, maybe I don't need to walk through a wall, but I need to do a lot of that other stuff. I need to lay hand on the sick, and they will recover because I laid the hand or the arm of the Lord on the sick. I'm tired of praying for people and hope that they get better. It's getting me sick in my spirit to see me operate on such a low 9-volt battery level of spiritual life. Making my body weak. I can't stand it. So it hit me here that the arm of the Lord, the arm that the Lord uses, is me. Now, next verse, which is verse 12, I think it is, 11. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee. Okay. But you know, Pastor, sometimes you got to go through some things. Well, this is, don't seem to be God didn't know that when he wrote this. Now, I want you to drop down, and I want you to go to verse 15. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Almighty God is his name. I have put my words in your mouth, Jesus, and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundation of the earth, say to you, Zion, you are my people. Next verse. Awake, awake. There it is again. Rise up, Jerusalem. You have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. Listen close. You have drained his dregs, the goblet that makes people stagger. Amongst all the children she bore, there was none to guide her. Amongst all the children she reared, there was none to take her by the hand. The double calamities have come upon you. Who can comfort you? Ruin and desolation, famine and the sword. Who can console you? Your children have fainted. They lie at every street corner. That sounds like they knew about today. Like antelopes caught in the net, they are filled with the wrath of the Lord, with the rebuke of your God. Therefore, hear this, you afflicted ones, made drunk, but not with wine. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Your God will defend his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. from the cup and the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. Now, I want you to listen to this. God is talking about a plan here, yes. He's saying your disobedience and your unwillingness to wake up has put you in a place where you become a drunken stupor as his church, as his body. You've become weak. You're stumbling around. You're going through all kind of hell. It's just right there. He says, because you've been drinking from a cup, not wine, but a cup that's not mine. You've been taking in knowledge and insight and wisdom that's not my instruction. You've been following the flow of life, but you haven't been following the flow of my wisdom. And as a result, you're going through crap. You want to know why the church go through things? This is why. Because you're drinking from something you're not supposed to be drinking from. You're feeding on knowledge that's not his knowledge. We're in this world. We're not of this world. We're not supposed to lock ourselves down. I watch believers fight believers about the election. And I'm like, but is that really our concern? We're in this world. We're not of this world. Do we really care about whether they cut off food stamps or not? Really, is that really who we've become as the church? That we might not get our subsidies and this, that, and the other? Yes, the answer is yes. That's what we become. But he's saying, wake up. Wake up. You're my arm. You're the distributors. Now, I'm going to say this quickly, and I'm going to get back to these scriptures, but I want you to think about it for a minute. I'm relating to this better because of the food pantry. I'm understanding it better because of the food pantry. I said yes to a concept that my wife wanted to do. I took the role of the executive director, but I tried to be as hands-off as possible to let her direct this project. And I stay in my role. She'll come to me and say, okay, got this, that here. You know, and I'll step in, and I'll say, okay, let's switch this, let's make that, let's do this, let's. But in this role, I step back, and I let her shine. Now, if I could be God for a minute, she became the body. Empowered, enabled by me, given the right, sanctioned by this church. Stay where I'm going with me. Stay with me. To go out and create this atmosphere. We start out with 10 people. We're just giving them bread and beans and macaroni and cheese and rice. Now it's grown into this thing where we got lines, a couple of hundred people online at a time. Stay with me here. She's going out there and she's doing this thing. Thanksgiving. We ran every place we could to find a few birds here, a few birds here, whatever we needed to do, because it was our goal and determination that nobody go home empty-handed. The lines grew quickly. We had a couple of weeks where we had to send like 40 people home empty-handed. Listen to me. Broke our hearts. We don't like telling people we can't feed you. That's a heart of God change. I'm sorry, we ain't got no more food. Oh, well, you should have came earlier. No, it hurt us. And if you'll notice, I prayed twice. Right there on the line and in church, we need turkeys. We need birds. We wound up with still birds left at the end. God put that barrel of meal, and it just kept pouring out. And we fed, and everybody on that line walked away with food. Now, I work with her, but she does this. Stay with me. I work with her. She does this. She's the arm. She's doing this thing. When I came outside this week, yesterday, the sincere hugs, kisses, thank yous, I wouldn't have been able to eat. Oh, my whole family came. It was such, oh, God bless you, God bless you. Come, 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 Poppy, come, come. And I said, wow. I gave her the power to do something that's bringing glory to me. Oh, yo, yo. Are you catching that? Because I said yes to her being the arm. She is doing things that is bringing glory to me. God gave you that power to be his arm so that you can go do great things that people will look at you and say, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to do this. And they want to hug your God. You could do better than that. That's what God put us here for. I want to be his arm. Not so people could love on me, so they could love on God. They're hugging me, and they're saying, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. And I'm like, God, to your glory. They're acknowledging you even in it. Shout, I'm the arm of the Lord. So he said, get back in this place and you won't hurt again. You won't walk around drunk and lost and confused again. He said, get back. He said, that wrath has come on you because you've gone off in your own way. Just get back to being my arm. Stop focusing on how am I going to get this and how I'm going to find a good husband, how I'm going to get a good job, how I'm going to get a good wife, and where am I going? I don't know what kind of daycare I'm going to put my kids in. And God's like, if you just get back to being my arm, awake, awake out of this stupor, this slumber, this drunken stumbling around, groping in darkness, trying to figure out how you're going to pay your next bill. And get back to being my arm. Get back to being in a place where I can reach out and hug the world through you. And I will remove this. It will be taken from your hand. You will never drink it again. I will put it into the hands of your tormentors. Who said to you, fall prostrate, that we may walk on you. And you made your back like the ground, like the street, to be walked on. You did it. You did it. They said, fall down, bow before me. He said, and you did it. He said, but I'll take that cup and put it on them. Now your enemy becomes your footstool. How we doing so far? So I'm going through this and I'm studying, and then I wind up at verse chapter 53. So you can go there now. I got somebody helping me read over there. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see, it's right back there. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty. So see, that means he wasn't all mad. Like people try to paint, Jesus must have been fly and looking like. So no, he was an average guy. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing is in his appearance that we should desire him. So everybody wanted to try to paint to you that Jesus was this wonderful thing that everybody, it's just, there was nothing about him that was attractive in the natural. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Now people think, no, that was after he was bruised. No, no, it doesn't say that. Don't try to write your stuff in there. The Bible is saying this is how people saw him. Let me see if I can give you the picture. They said he was out of Galilee, and their response was, does anything good come out of Galilee? That was their response. He's from Galilee. Does anything good come out of there? So Galilee must have been the hood. And that was like, Galilee? Ain't nothing coming out of there. Ain't nothing of no value come out of there. So those who were in high esteem didn't even consider where he came from. And if he was walking around as people try to make him look floating with robes and looking all beautiful, they would have been like, oh, yeah, maybe he is. Let's see who he is. They looked at him like, he ain't cute enough to run for office. We don't want him up there. He ain't got that charisma that we looking for in the flesh. Come on now. So if you happen to be cute, sometimes that can be a disadvantage because people, you want to work that cuteness in the natural, but you still neglect your spiritual. I've been a victim of that. No fault of my own. It's just, that's what I was cursed with. Anyway, let's move on. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God and stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and by his wounds, or the King James says his stripes, we were healed. We were all like sheep going astray, each one of us trusted in our own way. Do I need to be any clearer? And the Lord has laid on him our iniquities. So he's saying we've lost our power as the arm because we've trusted in our own abilities and ways. We follow the flow of the world. And as a result, we wound up with the goblet of drunkenness, where we wound up in pain and we wound up suffering and we wound up in lack and we wound up with all of this stuff. And he says, but he came and took that weight. Now, I took a journey when I read it this time. Because I try to go back as far as I can to figure out, how are you introducing this person? Stay with me. Some of you are going to learn a few things. He's talking about the arm of the Lord. Went back to where I saw this whole storyline begin, 51. He started talking about God's deliverance to his people, and the people were in bondage and went through what they were going through because they had turned their back on the things they know to be true. They've become the sleeping giant. And now all of a sudden they're trying to fit in. We're trying to get along. We're trying to get by day to day. Just trying to, how you doing, brother? You know, just, you know, doing what I can. You know what I'm saying? Man, got to do what he got to do. Trying to make it today. Yeah, okay. Well, that choice has put you in a drunken stupor. It's got you hurting. Got you hurting real bad. Now, he's talking about us in the arm and who we are and what we're called to be and what we're called to do. Then he goes off into this conversation about this person that was not introduced at all. It's like God was just talking and he just kind of, you know how people do, they just ramble on and just all of a sudden you're on a different conversation. Like, wait a minute, how the heck we get here? Now see, we know what it means. We know what it means. But imagine the people reading this. Where did this just go? Who was wounded? Who was this child born in the reeds and was wounded for our transgression? Jesus hadn't come yet. How was he wounded? What stripes? There was no crucifixion back then. It didn't exist until hundreds of years later. You're not ready. So what happened to the minds of the people? Did they just say, well, we just skip over that because we don't know what the heck that is? Yes, they did, because they do it to this day. Because you can't read even your Old Testament as a Jew and not see that and go, whoa, wait. Wound? Stripes, wounds, chastisement of peace, sin. We don't, what is this stripes and chastisement of peace that you speak of? It does not apply to any of our laws. It doesn't coincide. No, we sacrifice doves and bullocks and rams. Who is this child? Oh, come on. Who is this child that does not yet exist that you're saying has grown up through the reeds and is wounded for my transgressions? And who is this child? What are you talking about, Isaiah? But he's speaking from the voice of God. This is God speaking, thus saith the Lord. And all of a sudden, he begins to paint this full description of something that we take so for granted that meant absolutely nothing to the people at the time who read it because it made no sense. There was one way that you were cleansed from sins. You took your bullock, you took your goat, you took your sheep, you took your unblemished whatever, and you made your sacrifice, and you sat outside the city to the nightfall, and you did these things regularly. You had to go to the high priest. Now you're describing some kid that you appointed to take my sins away by the bruises and stripes on him. And it absolutely has nothing to do with our culture, our beliefs, and our belief system. How deep is our God? But isn't it interesting? He's using him in the description of the arm. He's transferring the sheep's and goats thing out of date right there. God 5.0 is about to drop. There's going to be no more sheep's and goats. And the people didn't catch it. So that means there's nothing that he did. You know, for the longest time, I thought that was a New Testament scripture. I went looking for it all in the New Testament, couldn't find it. I said, wait a minute, am I missing something? Did I forget? Did I lose her? And I just did a general search. I was like, oh, my God, it's Old Testament. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. He hadn't come yet. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed and made whole, and he hasn't even come yet. Somebody say he's a complete God. So if he can plan that far ahead, your deliverance, my head went, you ever see that commercial? It's just a big hole in a crater and smoke coming. I went, wow. So then, even though I preach this all the time and we get excited and we say it, he is living proof that he knows the end from the beginning. He knew when he made you what you would come across and where you would fall and where you would stumble, and already had provision in place for you way before you were even born in your mother's womb, when you were still a twinkle in your father's eye. Ah, come on. He already knew your whole situation and had everything in place for you to do right, be right, live right, and live beyond being a mere drinking from the goblet of drunkenness. He said everything you need to be my arm was put in place way before you were thought about. So what issue you facing that's so strong, so terrible? What's so powerful that you need to fast for 5 days to get God to move when he got this all laid out? We're not even thought about it. It's just for the Jews. He's talking to Jews. This wasn't written for us. I'm preaching my throat dry. That's rare. Thank you, dear. Listen, this kind of stuff kept me up all night. So here's what I'm saying. We're the arm. I can go on and on, but I covered what I wanted to cover. And so funny, because I went all the way to the end. And it was really, 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 really deep. So I do want to do this. I want you to go to Isaiah 58. Because This is the kind of stuff that makes me understand that the church has really become dumb. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible. We've just become an organization of people that get together and hang out. To hear something good in Jesus, see, to get me through the week. Hallelujah, glory. Look at Jesus. I left my pot on the stove and forgot. And I thought I was going to come home and the whole house was going to be burnt down. But the chicken was fried just absolutely right. That's a real testimony. I heard somebody share that. I was like, he's a chicken frying Jesus. You're right? And I was like, wow. And I remember back then, I was a baby in Christ. I was like, wow, Jesus fried our chicken. So Jesus has been reduced to being a short order cook. We're not his arm. He just protects our chicken and keeps our house from burning down. Wow. And as God has been walking me through this, I'm saying, God, it's not even, listen to what I'm about to say before I read this, and just hear my heart, okay? Can I have that? It's not so much about, guys, you're missing out, you're not catching the big picture, blah, 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 shame on you, get your act together, you're a failure to Jesus. That's not the message. It's wake up. It's like, do you know who you are? Do you know how powerful you are? Do you know you've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok? You didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on you. You have been fooled into believing that you're just a person waiting for the good day to be with Jesus when you are the most powerful beings on earth. You are the very arm of God. And we've been tricked. We've been fooled. We've been manipulated to situation and circumstances and church folk and just being survival people, just like the world, trying to figure out how to get by and how to get along and how to make people like me. And I don't know why they don't like me. And everybody's so mean to me. And all this stupid stuff. That's the goblin of suffering, he said. That's the drunkenness that you get in where you're going through pain and you're going through junk. And I'm like, God, I've carried this thing so long. Do I know how to drink from anything else? I'm teaching you just to see what's available to you. That's all I'm trying to do. No shame, no guilt, no putting you down, not trying to say bad Christian. Bad. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm saying wake up. We're being fooled. We're being robbed blind. We've settled for something that doesn't belong to us. Verse 1 of 58, shout it out loud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, to the descendants of Jacob their sins. That ain't popular in church no more. He's saying, but tell them, let them know. This is what I'm doing, I'm telling you. Now I say, you're going to go to hell now. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, show them who they are. Let them know the frailty of their sins that's getting them in the problems that they're getting into. This is what I'm doing today. I'm telling you your sins. Not, oh, you cussed at somebody. Please, that's the least of your problems. The least of your problems is you cussed somebody out. You got mad. You did this. You looked at that, and you shouldn't have looked at it. You shouldn't. Those are after effects to the real problem of death that's on the inside of us, of weakness. We fall to sin because the inside of us is already so broken and so powerless in our own mind that we fall to sin. Because when you know who you are and you walk in this kind of power, I guarantee you that ain't something you thinking about or worrying about. You living in this realm that I'm talking about today, you not worrying about, am I going to get drunk tonight or not? You above that. So I'm trying to get us out of this. Let's point out what sin in our life is. And this is garbage. It's worthless. How many of you have been in church for years hearing that? How much help has it given you? That's because Romans 7 says it. When the sin is pointed out to me, my body wants it more. The thing I don't want to do is the thing I do, and the thing I want to do is the thing I don't want to do. The power is not in pointing out and talking about sin, 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 sin. Stop sinning, sin, sin, sin. The power is in talking about, guess who you are. Guess why you here. Guess what power God has given you. Do you know that there's some secret doors in this walk that open you up to avenues and things that go beyond what you even believe was possible to do? And I guarantee you ain't running around figuring out how you're going to get to the next club. You're like, shoot, I want to get in them doors. I want that power. Do I have agreeers?
Yes.
How many of you would shout at the top of your lungs, I want all the power God has for me? All of it, Father. All of it, Father. I'm not going to go further. I'm going to wrap it up next week. That's enough. That's enough. I may explode if I keep going. Stand with me, please. My God. Say, our God is awesome.
Say, I'm
awesome. Because I'm cut. From that same mountain. I thought about that in light of the word. So I'm thinking about everything this morning. My God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever. He said, so will you, and you reign forever and ever. Don't I say that? You will rule and reign with me for eternity? Doesn't the word say that? He said, you're awesome and you reign forever. And I was like, oh. He said, you're awesome. I was like, God, help me to receive all of that. He said, you will. You just ask for it. Asking you shall receive. Seeking you shall find. So I helped you out. I did the seeking and asking for you. Now all you got to do is pick it up and keep going with it. I laid the groundwork. I did my part. Did I do all right? I did my part. Listen, I'm doing whatever I need to do. Did we not confess last week that 2017 was going to be what? This is how we get there. This is how we get there. This is how we get there. I'm not going to, listen, I ain't going to fail you. As long as I need to stand up here and preach, I'm going to give you something. Listen, if I leave this planet tomorrow, you're going to walk around saying, listen, I got something. I'm not giving you no Dollar General message. I'm giving you what God gave me. I'm going in. So here's what we have. We are powerhouses. We are dynamic. I stood here and said the word to you after the dream, awake, awake, sleeping giants, awake. And then God takes me right to it this morning. Arise, awake, wake up. Look at yourself. Do you know whose and whom you are? Do you know who you belong to? Do you know who you're a product of? Yeah, but my mom, I'm coming. Yeah, okay, yeah, but she, just because she don't know and just because you're born there don't mean that you're stuck there.
Hallelujah.
Say, from this day forward, with the leading of God,
I determine
my destiny changed forever in Jesus' name. That's powerful stuff right there. Powerful stuff right there. Amen.